Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible. Thank you. So much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in, and you are in for a power hour. I've got Pastors Peter and Carolyn Haas in studio, and on one hand, I think I know what we're going to talk about. On the other hand, I think I don't know what we're going to talk about. I'm totally prepared, but I actually really believe God has maybe a total surprise in different direction for us. And we're all this way. We all three of us love to lean in and go where God leads us. So I am super excited about this conversation ahead. I really don't want to waste another moment, so let me just tell you about them. In fact, I have to read this from Peter's book, Broken Escalators. He says, what if the Bible is true? What if our pleasure and enjoyment really are a spiritual rather than a circumstantial issue? What if God cranks up our enjoyment and pleasure when we put him first? What if God is so aware of our idolatrous tendencies that he dials back our enjoyment as a protective mechanism, lest we become the proverbial moth attracted to the flame? Well, we're going to talk about promotability. I think that will get in our conversation somewhere, but it might not. One thing I've been thinking about, if you listen often enough, you know, I've been dealing with some health stuff. What has come up for me, just to be perfectly honest, is dread. And yet, just read in Psalm 91 yesterday, you will not dread the terror. You will not dread the disease. And what the Lord spoke to my heart is that's both a promise and a charge. First, don't dread. That's a charge. And I promise you, then you won't dread. And then there's another passage that says that the enemy will dread because God is in the present of the company of the righteous. He's present with us in our company. And that means presence, power, promises. Stuff happens when we walk with God. And Peter and Carolyn have a story today that will blow your mind about what it means to walk in the presence of God. So let me tell you about them. We'll get this conversation started. Peter and Carolyn Haas are founding pastors of Substance Church in Minneapolis. Peter serves on the lead team of the Association of Related Churches. His books include Pharisectomy and the one we're unpacking today, maybe, if we get to it, Broken Escalators. He and his wife Carolyn have three children, and their influencer page is on our website at myfaithradio.com. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Susie.
Thank you, Susie.
Always love to have you guys. Appreciate you so much. So as you know, you've been on enough times. We love to talk scripture. Ladies first, if that's okay.
Of course.
Buckle up, everyone.
She's better anyway.
I know. I wouldn't say that, but I would just say nobody preaches the word like Carolyn Haas. I'm just saying. So go for it.
Oh, yay. I do love my Bible. You know, so the psalm that's been on my heart is Psalm 18. And it's been something that I've just been reading and rereading. And what has stuck out to me, David wrote it, and he's crying out to the Lord, and there's so many things going on in his life that he's overwhelmed. And one of the verses, he's saying, hey, God heard me, my cry reached him, which I think that's great. But I wanted to focus on verse 16. It says that God reached down. It says, he reached down from heaven and rescued me. He drew me out of deep waters. Verse 17, he rescued me from my powerful enemies, from those who hated me and were too strong for me. And I wanted to, there's something about an enemy or a situation or a sickness or a relationship or a job or a family member that's too strong for you. And I've noticed in my own life when something is too strong for me, it's easy to get insecure and it's easy to think like, why is this too strong for me? Like, what's wrong with me that I haven't been able to stand up to this? And I just felt like the Lord has encouraged me with, nope, there's always going to be an enemy that's too strong for you. Don't even worry about it because I see that enemy and I'm reaching down and rescuing you. And then verse 19 says, he led me to a place of safety. He rescued me because he delights in me.
Wow.
And so I just wanted to bring hope and encouragement to people today that if you're facing something that is just too strong for you, don't freak out. Don't get overwhelmed. Don't get insecure even in that moment and go, God sees, he hears your cry, and he's here to reach down and like rescue you, not just from deep waters, but from that enemy that is attacking you while you're already in distress and that it is too strong for you. And then as this, you just have to keep reading the whole psalm. Psalm 18 is unbelievable, but it just keeps saying, as I even, like, how I act, it talks about the Lord rewards me for doing right, and he's restored me because of my innocence. And so even when people or situations are treating you wrong and they're mistreating you, but it's like, no. Just keep doing right. Keep doing right. I see it. And the Lord rewards you for your innocence, for being life-giving. So keep doing it. And then the scripture just keeps going on and on of like, hey, he's going to give you strength. You can crush an army. The word
he trains my hands for battle.
Yes.
Bend a bow of bronze.
Anyway, it's so much strength. There's so much provision. And then it ends with literally saying, not only is he going to put your foot like on a wide path to keep it from slipping. And again, I think slipping is that big fear of, wait, when something's too powerful for me, I'm going to lose it. I'm going to mess up.
Mm-hmm.
And so the whole scripture is, hey, God sees, he hears, he rescues, and he's putting you in a safe place, a sturdy place.
Come on.
Hallelujah. Come on. Very good. What do you say, Pastor?
Well, over the years, I've learned that my delays and difficulties are often my deliverance.
Mm.
And when difficulties and delays and just frustrating things going on in my life, I have to just stop and ask God, what creative thing are you doing in my life? Because one of the interesting things about God is that he overcomes evil in two ways. He either removes it, like direct healing, like when we struggle with, you know, physical problem, we pray for God to heal us. And sometimes he instantaneously answers, or sometimes he takes the other path in which he ingeniously thwarts evil. In other words, he doesn't immediately remove our pain or our difficulty, but he ingeniously thwarts it. And as a kind of an example of this, a few years back, I was really struggling actually with my voice. And I lost the ability really to talk, to swallow like we've talked about before. But I literally would gag every time I would preach, and I couldn't. My muscles were so sore. I thought I was never going to be able to speak again.
Wow.
And I remember in the middle of that season, I came upon Psalm 112:7, and it says, the righteous person will have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. And then skip down, it goes, in the end, verse 8, Psalm 112:8, in the end, he will look in triumph on his foes.
Hallelujah.
But I thought about that. The righteous man will have no fear of bad news. And it's hard to keep ourselves steadfast, trust in the Lord. And I remember in that season, I'm like, God, I have no idea what you're doing, but I feel totally powerless. And of course, at the time, he was ingeniously thwarting my problem. He wasn't instantaneously delivering me, but he was ingeniously thwarting it. And throughout that season, God ended up opening my heart to all sorts of cool things that ended up growing our church in just tremendous ways. People that he brought along to help, and just alternative ways of even preaching through. Like, we started using video campuses in that season. I actually went 6 months where I couldn't preach. Vocal rest. How do we do it? Well, I could get enough to do one video, and our church went all video at all campuses. And through that season, our church ended up embracing this new technology, which ended up being one of the greatest catalysts to us growing, not just nationally, but internationally with our podcasts. And I wasn't really open to it before, because I thought to myself, I don't like that whole video preacher thing, you know, or I just, in my mind, I kind of created these boundaries about what I would do and what I wouldn't do. And I'm not saying that God afflicted me, but I do believe that he used that moment to ingeniously thwart what the devil was trying to steal from me. And that's why the righteous person will have no fear of bad news. And I don't know what's going on in the listeners' lives today, but I do know this, is that God loves us so thoroughly, so abundantly, that no matter what your current difficulty is or delay is, God has deliverance for you.
Amen. That's so good. I got to ask, how did he deliver you finally when you could preach again? What happened?
Well, I had to go on vocal rest, and there was a lot of different things that I was inadvertently doing to my own voice. Part of it is I was so stressed out. I was clenching my teeth all the time, and my vocal muscles were literally, it was chronic
spasm
fatigue.
Problem.
Yeah, and I literally, I needed a break, but I'm not the type of person to take one. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if there's anybody else out there like that.
Quit looking at me.
Anybody in this room, perhaps. But honestly, the Lord was doing a deeper work in me. And to be honest, I felt so powerless. And yet now I'm looking back and I'm thinking, that's what you were doing, God. Mm. And now I can even get to the point where I'm thanking God for this thorn in
Amazing.
My flesh. that it enabled me to really draw closer to the Lord and really awaken just our church to a whole new way of thinking about outreach.
Why? And the idea that he thwarts the plans of the enemy when it seems by he lets it go. I mean, sometimes when you're miraculously healed, you don't even have the infrastructure to sustain it because you're still thinking old ways. To me, it's a great thing. I mean, my son was miraculously healed, but it's like someone winning the lottery.
Yep.
Maybe they don't have the infrastructure to carry and steward that kind of a blessing. And but what is God helping you get back that you have to contend for? Because you're in the battle.
That's right.
Wow. Fantastic.
That's right.
Okay. So this is where I'm super excited because I only know bits and pieces because of what my son told me. But I know that your church has experienced some kind of miracle. Is that fair to say?
The miracle of a lifetime.
Wow.
Since I even talked about it in our church list last weekend in the message, I literally have gotten thousands of responses from people on social media just inspired. And let me start the story by even telling about my daughter True. For years, people would come up to us and say, "I think your second daughter. I keep getting this sense that your second daughter has a really strong prophetic gift." And you know, at the time, I'm like, I don't even know what that means, or you know, like, a prophetic.
I mean,
gift?
You knew what the prophetic was, but it was more of a, what does this mean when my child, and what does
10.
That look like in our family?
Or how old was she when?
At the time, she was 8 years old.
Oh, okay.
So you're like,
when people would say this, and people would constantly say, the Lord is going to use your second daughter. Not that he's not going
to
use our first,
but
it was a unique gift. Mm-hmm. And at the time, we had just put our house up for sale, and this was right after the big housing bust. And our realtor warned us, hey, it's going to take about 150 some days for your house to sell. That's the average sale time in your suburb, and just because of the devastation of the housing market. And in the midst of us kind of, you know, acclimating to this idea of our house could be on the market for 6 months, my daughter came up to me when she was.
Well, we prayed. So we prayed as a family.
And she was only about 9 years old at the time. But she said, "Dad, the Lord spoke to me about our house selling." And I'm like, and what did he say?
Yeah.
And she said, "Well, the Lord wanted you to be encouraged, and he told me that our house is going to sell exactly 5 days from when you put it on the market, and it's not going to happen on Saturday, but it's going to happen on Sunday." It was so specific. And immediately as a dad, I'm like, really? Is this really the Lord?
It's an awkward parenting moment because she was so confident. And so you're like, oh, Lord, like what happens if it doesn't? And how do we have that conversation? And I don't want to discourage her, but wow.
That's so specific. And I thought, well, let's just see what happens. And sure enough, on Saturday, 4 days after, we got all this negative feedback. "I can't believe you're trying to sell your house for that price." And we were kind of discouraged. And then Sunday, another open house or another showing, and boom, it sells exactly 5 days for our asking price. And so I was kind of blown away, like, wow, got it. It literally happened just as specifically as my daughter said. And it kind of opened me up to these Bible verses that, hey, maybe God is out there leading and guiding us.
Mm, wow. Okay, that's the setup for this story. We've got to take a break. You are in for a treat. So, little True, that's her name?
Yeah.
That's her name.
T-R-U-E, just like True and False.
Fantastic. Yeah. I did not know that. True. Of course she'd be a little prophet.
Yeah.
I'm saying. So, wait till you hear what God spoke to her and how it impacted the church. In fact, that whole video, the announcement, I believe, is online. We'll put that on our show page today, so you got to see that. More with Pastors Peter and Carolyn Haas when we return. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Really blessed and honored to have my friends, Pastors Peter and Carolyn Haas, pastors founders of Substance Church in the Twin Cities. And we have them on about once a month. And this is one of those days I'm not exactly sure where this conversation is going to go, even though we both made a plan. I just get a sense that God has something different. What I do know is your faith is going to be challenged and encouraged. And you know what? God invites us to more of Him. He invites us to apprehend His promises and to walk in greater faith. And one of the greatest ways, I think, to step into the things God has is to hear another faith story. I think testimonies beget more testimonies. So right before the break, Peter and Carolyn were setting up when their daughter, True, don't you love that name, was 8 years old or something like that. Someone had just said, she's got an anointing on her life. She's got kind of a prophetic gift. And you're like, okie dokie, not sure what to do with that. And when you're putting your house up for sale, the real estate agent said 150 days for this house, this market. And your daughter said, I feel like God wants you to be encouraged. It'll sell in 5 days on Sunday, you know, on the Sunday. And it's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Okay, pick the story up from there.
Okay, so, you know, for Substance, we're almost 12 years old and we were portable for 11 and a half years.
Whoa, I can't.
And so in portable multi-site. And so, it's been so hard for us to find a church building, and we would try. I mean, Peter, give an example of how many times we've tried looking for buildings.
Oh, like 8 different properties that we had spent tens of thousands of dollars vetting that had fallen through for some strange reason. And it was year after year. I mean, it was a really weird situation where we had money and we couldn't spend it. And yet our church, it felt like our church had stalled out momentum, and we just couldn't figure out this facility situation. So to be honest, I was depressed. It was one of those moments where, as a leader and as a lead pastor, people didn't understand. They were like, Pastor, I thought we were trying to buy property. And I'm like, listen, we are. It's literally not working. And I kind of felt like an incompetent leader for a season. And it got to the point where I couldn't even hide it from my kids. We used to take our kids to prayer walk all these different buildings that we were vetting out. And, of course, before we'd do that, we would take them to Dairy Queen.
You know, and I think, you're no dummy.
No, we're
I get it. I get how it works. Ice cream and Jesus.
They should go together.
They do. In fact, our kids now, every time we take them to Dairy Queen, they're like, what building are we going to walk around? Like, we're not walking around. This is just DQ, okay? Like, why do we... Okay.
Anyway,
well, you're a church planter. You're always a church planter.
Yeah. At the time, though, my kids would ask me, Dad, what happened to that building? And I'd be like, yeah, that one didn't work out. And what about that building? Yeah, that one didn't happen either. And they started, I couldn't even hide the fact that I was just depressed about it. Like, I don't know what's going on.
This is where the story gets crazy. Our daughter's 10 years old. It's the Tuesday after Easter Sunday. And the Easter message in church was this girl's testimony. And she kept saying throughout the whole testimony, God, would you reveal yourself to me? That was like her prayer. So my daughter is 10. She's with her grandma in the car. And they drive by one of the buildings we used to prayer walk. So in her mind, she saw, oh, that was a facility that we were trusting God for. It fell through. And so she's looking out the window and she said, God, would you reveal yourself to me? And would you speak to me like you did when our house sold? And would you speak to me about Substance's facilities?
I have holy goosebumps already.
So just,
wow, bless her little heart.
Exactly. That's what was. So no one was talking about buildings. She's just looking out the window and just asks God that prayer. And so gets all of these details, sees all these things. She's this cute little introvert that didn't say any of it to me until bedtime. And so I'm putting her to bed and she starts telling me what she prayed and what she saw. And I took detailed notes and I recorded her voice saying it. And so the gist of what she saw was, Mom and Dad, I feel like, so it was a Tuesday. By next Thursday or Friday, you're going to find a building. And she goes, it's huge. And she goes, in fact, it has a double layer. Didn't even know the word for balcony. She's 10 years old. So she's like, it has a double layer. She goes, the ceilings are so high. And she's like, and you, when you look up, you just say, wow. And so she just kept describing this building. But she said, you're not going to buy it right away, but you're going to decide in your heart that this is the building that you want to pursue. And so we're like.
Well, I was almost a little stunned because, again, it was so specific. And I remember thinking, how I don't have any real estate meetings planned before this next Thursday. And how am I supposed to just magically find a building, and not just any building, but a building with a balcony by this next Thursday? And then we're just going to suddenly decide to get it. And I just remember thinking, like, Peter the Skeptic kind of kicked in. Yeah. I'm like, this is almost crazy. And yet the moment I almost said that, I felt like the Lord rebuked me with Genesis 18:14. Like, it's the same time he spoke to Sarah about being pregnant when she was way past childbearing. And he says, you're going to have a baby. And she said, I don't know. Or like she laughed. Mm. And then he said, is anything too difficult for the Lord? And I felt that Bible verse just explode across my heart. Is anything too difficult for the Lord? Is it really impossible for the Lord to open up a building by this next Thursday with a balcony? I mean, and I finally, in that moment, I'm like, okay, God, you can do it. All right, if you want to do it, you can do it. And that was it. I kind of prayed that little prayer.
But there was nothing you could really do to make that happen.
Right.
That was that's what he wanted, though, from you, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Just open-handed surrender.
Right. How am I supposed to do that?
Right.
So a week goes by, nothing. And so we're down to like 2 days. And so all of a sudden, Peter gets a call from our facility staff member, finance guy, and he said, oh, I'm so sorry, Pastor, but today we are going to go check out a building. Can you come with us?
And immediately, I freaked out. I'm like, you're going to go see a building? Like, and I'm like, what? Of course I'll be at this site visit. Like, where is it? And they're like, it's in downtown Minneapolis. Just come visit with us, and we're just checking it out. And I'm like, I get off the phone, and my daughter looks at me, and she goes, Dad, you're going to see a building, aren't you?
Unbelievable.
And she goes, I'm telling you, Dad, but within the next 2 days, you're going to find a building with a balcony, and the Lord is going to enable you to get it, and you're going to be able to afford it. You won't get it right away. But she goes, Dad, it's beautiful. Remember, it has a balcony. And I started laughing when she said this. And she goes, Dad, you'll know it's the one that God is going to provide for you when you look up and you say, wow. And I had no idea, like, what that even meant. Like, look up and say, wow.
Yeah.
Now
I can't do it.
Yeah, like, I don't even, yeah, exactly, right? Well, get this. A couple hours later, I'm at the building, and I walk in. And, of course, if you see this building that we were looking at, it has a giant glass dome over the auditorium that would just take tens of millions to build by today's standards. And I looked up, and the words came flying out of my mouth. Wow. And the moment that word came out of my mouth, I literally shook because I thought, oh, my gosh, it's happening. I feel like I'm stepping into this, like, crazy miracle story. The word came out of my mouth. I immediately took out my phone and started snapping all these pictures. Like, I thought, oh, my gosh, it's happening. And so I snapped all these pictures. Well,
So I picked them up from school, and I said, Dad's at the building right now taking a tour. And so she's very creative, and she's very artistic. And I said, True, why don't you actually draw out everything you saw so that when Dad comes home, you can actually show him what you saw?
Great wisdom.
So tell what happens.
Well, so I come home from work that day, and the first thing that happens is True comes running up to me with the picture that she drew. And she wanted me to have this picture as reference to verify if this was the building in her vision. And when I saw the picture, I freaked out because she drew a mirror image of this curved balcony. I mean, a balcony that would physically be difficult to draw if you were literally comparing the pictures directly. But she drew it straight out of this vision, and it was identical to the picture that I had just taken earlier that day. And when I saw it, and I'll just for the listeners, I'm going to post this on my Instagram, but I'll send it to My Faith Radio as well. When you see this picture, everybody who sees this picture freaks out because there's no way. It would be hard enough for a 10-year-old to draw this picture, period.
Yeah. In fact, we had a Disney architect actually look at it, and he said there's no way a 10-year-old could. They don't have the depth perception to be able to draw this out.
Wow, absolutely amazing. So we will post Peter's picture and True's picture and also a link to the sermon. But there's more to this story. Do you have holy goosebumps? I like to say, if this doesn't stoke your flame, your wood just might be wet. I'm just saying. Talking to Pastors Peter and Carolyn Haas of Substance Church. Don't you love it when God moves in ways that are above and beyond us? But this is the thing. He's moving. The Bible says daily the heavens pour forth speech. Too many of us are too busy. We're not waiting. We're not watching. We're not listening. But he wants us to participate with him in this divine kingdom narrative. Don't go away. More with my friends when we return. Your soul that you're no longer a slave to fear. You are a child of God. And he parts the waters. He moves mountains. Yes, he lets us go through the valley, but that William MacDonald calls that training time for raining time. We got to go through the storm. We got to go through the battle. Teaches us how to stand. Teaches us that God's truth is stronger than the lie. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to my friends, Pastors Peter and Carolyn Haas. They're founders of Substance Church here in the Twin Cities, a multi-campus church. If you just tuned in, you have to go back and catch the first part of the show to catch up, because this miracle story is absolutely amazing. But just a quick synopsis. Years ago, somebody gave this dear couple a word about their middle child, that she had kind of a prophetic gift and just a divine insight into the things of God. And she asked God to speak to her about the church building, because there were so many times where buildings fell through, land fell through, and God gave her a vision. And she went to her parents and said, Daddy, Mom, God showed me the place that God has for you. And I'm butchering the story. That's why you got to go back and listen. But the picture and the vision was so succinct and so amazing. She actually drew it. And when Peter got to go see it, it was exactly that. And we're going to put those side-by-side pictures. But this was, I just learned this 3 years ago,
yeah,
Carolyn.
This is 2013.
So take us up to speed and then take it from here.
So 2013 is when she had the vision. And you know, one of the things I love that the Lord spoke so clearly to her was, you decide in your heart that you were going to pursue the building, but you weren't going to buy it right away. But you'll be able to afford it. And I can't tell you over the last 3 years how many hurdles, how many obstacles, how many times we had to walk away, and just the complications, or it wasn't the right timing, or our substance didn't have the finances. And yet I would kind of scratch my head and go, okay, God, but you gave us this word, but you also said we'd be able to afford it. So if we can't afford it now, maybe it's not the right timing. And so it was just a beautiful journey. I think a crazy roller coaster journey.
And Isaac, though, I mean, Isaac was the promise, and he and Abraham had to, right? I mean,
yes.
It's like this was a very clear promise, but still you're forced to reckon with your surrender in the process.
Well, and really, you think about any Bible promise, there's always a delay between promise and power.
Yeah, true.
And most of us don't know what to do in the delay. And one of the things that the Lord even taught us in this whole season is to learn how to just worship. Worship and praise is what we do in between promise and power. And God had given us this incredible prophetic word, but we had no ability to make it happen in the natural, because there were so many political forces that were involved in this, that all I could do is just kind of sit back. I was kind of stuck on a roller coaster that I couldn't get off. We actually made 4 offers to purchase, all of which fell through. And I remember in the midst of this, like, God, why have you given us this incredible prophetic word, this incredible vision, this improbable situation that confirms your hand is on this, and yet it's not happening? And it was a struggle, but really I realized what the prophetic is it's like the buckle that holds you onto the roller coaster.
Mm.
And I realized that all of us at some point or another are going to be strapped onto a roller coaster of change, a roller coaster of circumstances that we don't want to be on. And I believe that God gives us not only the prophetic, but he gives us his word, his promises, to keep us buckled into that roller coaster. Because when you know that that buckle is secure, it changes things.
Very
All of
true.
A sudden, rather than a trauma, it's a thrill. And I think at some point, the Lord got me to the point where, throw your hands up in the air, Peter. Come on. I got this story. And against all odds, just recently, we have now gotten the opportunity to acquire the building in kind of a lease-to-purchase, lease-to-own type of thing with one of our dear pastor friends, Pastor Paul Marzon. And it's just really been an incredible story, watching God against all odds really supernaturally accomplish this promise. And what's so great about the story is that the dream and the vision was so big that only God could accomplish it. And there's really no human being that can take credit for this story. All I did was stay strapped into the roller coaster.
Wow. Okay. So, Carolyn, tell me this. When did the breakthrough start to shift? When did the sun start to peek through? And what was your frame of mind right before it happened?
Okay, you're going to laugh. So today, it's July right now. We literally walked away in February of 2016 from this. It was like the last time. It was like, it's not going to happen. Wow. We just moved into our Northtown building, and we just felt like we can't right now. And so there were some deadlines. We couldn't meet the deadlines, and so we had to walk away. And so we just privately just grieved, but we couldn't feel like we couldn't even share it with people. But it was like, and so that was February, and then literally maybe April. Was it April? All of a sudden, the door started opening again, and it was like, "What? Like this? So this has really been fast. super fast. So we're still in shock. Like, it actually doesn't feel real at all. Everyone, you know, we announced it Sunday, and everyone's asking us, "How are you doing?" And I'm like, I'm still pinching myself.
Yeah.
I'm still, you know, like, is this because it happened literally April, May, June.
Well, like
boom.
Joseph went from the prison to the palace in a blink of an eye on one day. You know?
Yeah.
In many ways, it was kind of like Abraham sacrificing Isaac, except in our case, he actually died.
Yeah.
and like the dream died. And I remember thinking, wow, what was that whole prophetic word thing about? I mean, God, I mean, I guess you could still make it happen. I mean, there's nothing that could prevent you from moving. And but there came this point where I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to trust you no matter what. Kind of like that scripture I shared earlier, just Psalm 112. The righteous man will have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. I thought, in the end, I think God has an ingenious plan to glorify his name through our lives, no matter how it looks. And is it sad that it's not happening maybe in the way that I expected or the timeline that I expected? Sure. But you know what? God can do anything. And if there's anything I just would want to tell people after really having a total miracle happen for our church. I mean, literally, this building would cost $40 million easily to rebuild by today's standard. And especially,
so their extra campus is probably nicer than their main campus, right?
Yeah,
I mean, I hate to say that, but it's not building-wise, isn't it?
And it's right in the heart of downtown, right off of Eat Street, right next to the convention center. And I keep thinking, what are the odds of even a church getting a property like that? It's so slim. It's literally a once-in-a-generation opportunity. And I'm looking back and I'm seeing the hand of the Lord. And I just want to encourage anybody who's out there who's got a Bible promise you're just holding on to, or maybe even a prophetic word that God gave to you. I don't know how bad your circumstances look today, but this I do know is that we serve a God of miracles, a God who raises the dead, who can take things that are not and make them into something totally new. And my faith feels so renewed and so strong that I just want to encourage anybody, no matter what you're in today, no matter what you're going through, God's got a plan that is so beautiful that will testify him. Your test will become a testimony. Mm. And that's God's will for all of us.
Oh.
And let me just say, from a leadership perspective, I think sometimes we go through these waiting periods just to flat out prove that it wasn't our brilliant leadership, it wasn't our strategy, it wasn't our budgeting that caused this to happen. Do you know what I mean? Otherwise, we would have taken credit for it. Mm. And I feel like we've gone through the last couple of years very humbled, very broken, very discouraged at different doors and opportunities closing when it came to facilities for us. And then when God did the miracle, you went, no, it really is God. You know,
yeah,
and so,
right.
And that's,
no doubt.
God needs the glory.
Yeah, so good. I'd love to know, we're going to take our last quarter hour break here so we can hear from one of you on one side and the other on the other. But how are you different because of the delay? And this, I mean, 3 years is a journey. When you got such a clear word, how are you different?
How am I different? I am thankful for the delay.
Hmm.
And that,
wow.
I hope not to discourage people with that word, but I would actually say 3 years later,
you're better for it?
I am. I'm stronger. I'm wiser. I feel like I can encourage people in their waiting. I can actually tell people God's timing is perfect. Mm. And I love what it did in me and how the waiting broke me in a beautiful way.
Excellent. How about you?
Well, we all condition our happiness upon certain circumstantial things. And I think that God wanted to make sure that I was not finding fulfillment in some sort of ministry success or in some sort of tool that he wants to entrust me with. And I think throughout the season, God kind of humbled me and just let me know, hey, listen, you might be captain of a ship, but I make the wind go. I make the sails. I make it go forward. And I really learned that it's not so much me doing it and God helping me. It's God doing it and just me being along for this amazing ride that God has. And that God adventure it's not over. God's got more amazing stories of deliverance that he wants to do in my life. But sometimes God is into more than just building our dreams. He's into building us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the sooner I think that we realize that, the sooner God will probably start working on many of our dreams.
Indeed. And how about True? How is she doing as she's watched this thing unfold?
She's a little introvert, so she's trying to hide a little bit.
Yeah.
You know? But I think it's encouraging. She just saw the building for the first time 5 days ago.
And?
So, oh, she was blown away. Yeah. And she just remembers, she's like, all I remember is a lot of red. And if you see the building, it's 100% red carpet. Like, it's really funny. And so we purposely kept her from seeing any pictures because we just didn't want to mess with what she had seen.
Wow.
Yeah.
And when do you get to officially use the building?
So September 11th, we're starting our service.
Two services. because it's a lease-to-own situation, we're moving in right away, and then our goal is to think through the master plan and really dream up something incredible, because this really is it's a gorgeous work of art. 125-year-old church.
My.
Used to have 24/7 prayer up until the 1920s.
Whoa.
And was one of the largest churches in the world at that time. And so just to be able to restore this work of art to something absolutely gorgeous. Mm. I mean, in some ways, it's almost like we're fulfilling prayers that were prayed over 100 years ago.
Amazing. And I got to tell you, I'm sorry, it's one of those live radio things. I hope that didn't sound like a diss, like your second building's, you know, your first building is amazing. But seeing the pictures of this dome, is it like a glass ceiling? I mean,
right.
It really is a vintage work of art.
Who needs another suburban megachurch building when you can have a gorgeous work of art?
Indeed.
You know what I mean?
Yes, indeed. We're going to pause here. When we come back, we're going to talk more about your dream and your process and how to trust God in the meantime. So don't go away talking to Pastors Peter and Carolyn Haas. More with them when we return. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, having a fantastic conversation with my friends, Pastors Peter and Carolyn Haas, talking about a recent, and this truly is a miracle. Now, I will tell you, I think a miracle is a breath that we take every day and a baby being born and a lemonade stand that makes you stop and belly laugh. But
yes.
There are also certifiable miracles that you say, no way did that just happen, and you could have nothing to do with it. And Peter and Carolyn just shared an amazing miracle that their church has come through and how God has really prepared them. And for those listening, maybe speak to the idea of a prophetic word, because I think that some people will maybe automatically go to a charismatic mindset, so to speak, but this is a biblical thing. And love for you just to unpack it and destigmatize it maybe a little bit.
Well, I think that whenever we're praying, sometimes we get impressions, and we don't know for sure if it's the Lord, but just kind of an impression. I don't know if you've ever had kind of just a gut impression while you're praying. Over the years, I've noticed that I've had to make decisions for many things. And between two good ideas, you want the God idea.
Amen.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that that's what the prophetic is sometimes it's just an impression, a nudge, really, a divine nudge. And really, the prophetic is not meant to be a substitute for scripture or a substitute for spiritual mentors. Ultimately, I believe it's meant to be a confirmation of those things.
Wow, good.
And so, really, I think a lot of people, the word prophetic almost seems too spooky or almost cultic or mystical. But I think all Christians who have the Spirit of God in them can be led. They didn't even know that it was a prophetic unction. It was a nudge that was a divine nudge. And because they just were so afraid, and that's why I always say whenever it comes to the prophetic, there's counterfeits too. There's the prophetic, there's the prosthetic, and then there's the pathetic. You know what I mean?
And make sure you discern the difference.
Yeah, and there is a difference between them. And I think the way that we know the difference is by just staying grounded in God's word and staying submitted to spiritual mentors.
And so good. And, you know, the Bible says that he confides in those who fear him.
Yeah.
And I would say that those words that come from that prophetic insight always accompany the fruit of the Spirit.
That's
love,
right.
Joy, peace, patience. Not to say they don't inspire fear, because I think casting a vision like, you know, this church in 7 days you're going to see, but you're not going to buy right away. You weren't even looking at that point.
Yep.
It could stir up a little. I always say faith stirs up a little nausea. I think it does sometimes, you know. But
it does.
Underneath it, if there's peace of God and you can back it up in Scripture, you follow him. And the idea that the prophetic keeps you buckled in, because I just feel like God allows that you to see those things, because the storms then hit and you cannot stand the opposition if you don't have a sense of vision.
Yes.
Without the vision, the people cast off all restraint.
Yes.
You know?
No, and I think about, you look at Abraham, and he had the prophetic word that they were going to have a baby. It wasn't coming to pass. It wasn't coming to pass. So what did he do? He tried to make it happen with Hagar and created Ishmael, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think what you talked about this earlier, the tension is it's the waiting period and just trusting God and not letting it ever control you or dictate what exactly you do. But again, it's that encouragement. It's a strengthening, you know, and it's supposed to strengthen.
Yeah, the prophetic is never meant to enslave people. And I think a lot of people, the Bible teaches 1 Corinthians 14:3, that the prophetic is for the strengthening, encouragement, and comfort of his people. And that's why the Apostle Paul said, 1 Corinthians 14:1, eagerly desire the spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. Hmm. But Paul also knew that there's people that take it too far, get spooky, get a little strange, get cultic, manipulate people with it, which is why he finally had to caution everybody. 1 Thessalonians 5, he says, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Don't treat prophecies with contempt. But also, test everything, Excellent. Hold on to the good, avoid every kind of evil. In other words, people tend to fall on the both extremes, the overly mystical or the overly abstainer.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't believe in
they
that.
They despise, and it says don't despise prophecy. Right.
There's a, mm-hmm. and there's a tension in there, and I think if we just ground everything in Scripture and are afraid and aren't afraid to talk about mm-hmm. it. I mean, we had many conversations, like maybe True's word, I mean, maybe could True miss it? You know, mm-hmm. it's possible. I miss
it. This very detailed picture that matches what we've just seen, could that possibly?
I know it sounds
you have
absurd.
To ask it.
We would literally show it to pastors, and we'd be a little stressed out because it wasn't happening, and we had another hurdle or another obstacle, and they would literally look at us like kind of like we're idiots, like,
chill out.
It's kind of obvious, so I don't know why you're stressed. And I'd be like, okay, but thanks for praying with us.
But don't you understand the obstacles?
Yes.
But it's funny how God... It's changed my perspective. To be honest, it's opened me up to passages of Scripture that I hadn't fully embraced before, hadn't fully acclimated to. I mean, there's certain beliefs that we hold theoretically, but we don't actually believe it. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? We believe in angels and demons. We just, well, it's more of a theoretical belief. And so it kind of thrust biblical Christianity a little deeper into my life. And in many ways, it's really stimulated me to read my Bible more.
Mm, so good. John 3:34, I think it says, that for the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God gives his Spirit without limit. And I think that was John the Baptist talking about Jesus. But I've borrowed that for myself because Jesus says, you know, as the Father sent me, so I send you. Mm. So when I'm sent by God, I trust that I'll speak the words of God because he gives his Spirit without limit. But there, I first make sure I'm sent because, you know, if you step out in any good work, you're going to be opposed. And if you think you got yourself there, you manipulated yourself there, you self-promoted yourself there, and when opposition comes, I don't know that you would have the grit to hang in there because it's like, did I do this? But when you wait on the Lord and you know he sent you, when the opposition comes, you can prevail because you know he called me to it. He's calling me through it.
That's
and we need some kind of grit to stand in this day, don't we?
Amen.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
One of the things you say in the Broken Escalators book, and I know you two have lived out very well, is to really apprehend all the purposes of God in our lives. We need godly mentors and friends who are painfully close. Mm. I loved that because I think you need to unpack the friends who are painfully close because you also said this will not happen in an isolation, independent mindset.
Absolutely. As we often say at Substance, show me your friends and I'll show you your future.
Mm.
Walk with the wise, you will grow wise, but a companion of fools will suffer harm, Proverbs 13:20. Too many, what was interesting is when I was doing the research for my book on happiness, I found out the research actually shows that our happiness is more related to our friends than it is our circumstances.
Hmm.
And I remember thinking it was actually kind of shocking actually how much more significantly our community affects our overall joy and happiness and ultimately success even more than our circumstances. We imagine that perfect job or that perfect whatever, fill in the blank. If only I had this in my bank account or this type of house, then I would be happy. But actually, your friends have a greater impact on your likelihood of happiness than anything. And and that kind of gripped me a little bit because it really challenged me to embrace what the Bible had said all along. A wise person is cautious in relationship, Proverbs 12 says. And I thought maybe I'm not being cautious enough about who I'm surrounding myself with and the type of community that I'm embedding myself into. And it really kind of started defining church for me less about a church service and more about friends who could surround me with an attitude of faith. Yeah. And really, that's really what biblical church is. It's a community of people who will do anything to see us healed and whole. It's kind of like Luke 5 when the paralytic couldn't get to Jesus at Peter's house. And so they ripped through a roof, lowered him on a mat, and then Jesus healed him.
But it was four friends that had to put him on the mat and say, hey, let's go get our friend to Jesus. Oh, it's too full. Let's go to the roof and let's start removing tiles.
Mm-hmm. And think about that. That was illegal. What they were doing, I mean, vandalizing a person's house by ripping a hole through it.
Yeah, when
that's
you put
bold.
It that way.
Now, like, think
can
about
you imagine
it.
Jesus teaching and there's like little dirt. Rocks and pebbles falling on his head? It had to be kind of loud and distracting.
Exactly. But instead of rebuking them for doing that, he was like impressed by their faith and then heals them. And in many ways, the story isn't about, I don't believe it's about Jesus healing the paralytic. I believe it's about the friends of the paralytic. And when I read that, I felt like the Lord just impressed upon my heart, do you have friends who would rip through a roof for you? Do you have friends who are so passionate about helping you experience Jesus that they would even do something illegal to get you to Jesus?
Disclaimer. I'm just kidding.
But I thought if there was ever a biblical definition of church, it's right there in Luke 5. It's we need to make sure that we all have friends who would rip through a roof for us. And we need to make sure that we are the friends who would rip through the roof for those people that need Jesus. And that's the definition of church. Friends, godly friends and mentors can do more for our to accelerate our callings than maybe anything else.
And I think that's one of the things about waiting is when you're waiting, you tend to maybe whine about your situation or share it with people. But the more you bring others into it, then they actually can encourage you and speak into your life and pray with you. And then they get to be part of the miracle. And I think when Peter and I sat in this church building this last week with our staff and with our children for the first time and gave them the tour and we prayed together, we just looked at each other and went, this wouldn't be as fun if it was just Peter and I. But to share it with people who have been in the journey with us, it just made it special.
Wow. Yeah. We've got just literally about 2 minutes here before we pray, maybe 1 minute. But I want you to give one final just word about a person. If a person's receiving, you know, a prophetic word, if someone's, and maybe they're not, and I love it when people don't say, thus saith the Lord, but that, you know, I get a sense from the Lord. You know what I mean? I just think if there's humility in the delivery, that helps a little bit. But how do they discern if this is a right word or not?
Well, I ultimately believe that the prophetic is meant to confirm, not lock us up.
Okay.
And so a lot of times God is already nudging us between these two good ideas. Here's the God idea. Mm-hmm. But in the end, that's why we submit prophetic words to our godly friends and mentors. Is what do you guys think about it? Process this together. And if it confirms, then a lot of times that's all we need to tip ourselves into that awesome God adventure that God has for us.
Boy, good word. One last question for you before we pray. What advice do you have for that person listening that, you know, you're really good at fanning the flame within you, which Scripture calls us to do. But what advice do you have for that person who feels like it's just an ember right now, just from hardship, from chronic disappointment? What word do you have for them?
I would say the Lord sees you and he hears. And no matter what you're going through, you're not alone and that he has a plan. And I think discouragement comes from because we actually think he's not hearing and he's not seeing. And I think about Hagar. She's a single mom. She's out in the wilderness. She thinks she's going to die. And God reveals himself as I am the God who sees.
Yeah.
And it's his first time in Scripture. And I just think he sees.
Wow. And that's an insight laced with grace from a woman who's relied heavily on the grace of God. As we wrap up in prayer, I wonder if, Pastor Peter, if you pray for that person who Carolyn just spoke to. Would you pray for that person?
Heavenly Father, we just acknowledge that you are truly loving and compassionate towards all you have made. And I just pray for the person who feels some sort of emotional distance, who feels lonely or feels like they're having to figure out life on their own. Lord, I pray that you would just allow this divine revelation of your love just to permeate into that circumstance where they need you most. God, you've called us to live a worry-free life. And I pray that all of the listeners today would begin to live that joy-filled life starting right here, right now, by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
And you too, I just want to thank you for wrestling, for prevailing, because your victory becomes our victory. Your fruit becomes our fruit. Truly, you're wrestling for many. Someone once said 1,000 people wait on the other side of your obedience. And that's the thing, is we're nourished by your victory. So thank you for prevailing.
We love you, Susie.
Love you.
I'm no longer a slave.
You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. And hey, when you get there, sign up for the Live Free Challenge. We're asking you to use your best energies for the world's greatest needs, trying to raise some money to end human trafficking. How many miles can you log in the month of August? All the information is up there. And then check out today's Live the Promise show page so you can see the picture that True drew when she got a sense of this church that God had for Substance and the picture of the actual building. You're going to be blown away. God is still in the business of miracles, and we will meet you back here next time.